Wasn't that great from Hayden? And great to hear what's happening at Youth. God is at work. He's still amongst us doing great things, and it's just so exciting. We're doing a series, He Still Speaks. It's because we want to stir up the dynamic of the Spirit. We want more of what's happening, what Hayden is sharing about in Youth. We want more of that. Paul said, our gospel came to you not simply with words, not just with words, but also with power. We want power. We want His power. We want to be the church that He's called us to be. And if we're going to fulfill our vision, which is pretty enormous, transforming our community through the love and power of Jesus, we are going to need the Holy Spirit. Because over there it talks about us being dependent on the Spirit of God. We are dependent on Him. So the purpose of sharing this theme is to stir our hunger for it and to stir our appetite and to make us move a little bit towards it, to lean into all that God's got for us, to pursue the gifts of the Spirit, to pursue things like that. Remember the baptism in the Spirit, receiving that experience with the Lord is a gateway to so much more that God has for us. Last week we looked at the big picture. You can listen to it if you weren't here. The elements that actually work into that dynamic being realized more. We talked about mission. We talked about it's not because we want to just enjoy it for ourselves. It's not just about us. It's about the purpose that God has to reach the lost. The motivation for the gifts of the Spirit is always love. It's always in the context of love that the gifts move. We talked about how we need to stay being filled. It's not just an experience we had 40 years ago for some, or even more or less. It's not an experience we have once. Paul says being filled. Keep ourselves filled. Keep ourselves edified. We talked about the necessity of intimacy. We've got to get close to God. We've got to hear His voice. We've got to be able to recognize Him. And everything flows out of our relationship with Him. And we talked about the necessity of faith. When we hear God, we've got to be willing to obey Him. And today I wanted to drill down into one of those gifts, and it's the gift of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says this. He says, pursue love, chase it. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Some say that translates to covet. You know, you can't covet Stuart's red-hot 5-litre ute that he's got down there, hiding in his shed that no one sees, and he sneaks out once in a while. And, you know, it's not him that does all the hooning up the road, but it's people like that, you know. It's so that have got big hoony cars. So anyway, you can't covet that, but you can covet the gifts. And then it says, then Paul says this. He says, especially that you may prophesy. I see Michael's looking keen down there. He's leaning in for that, aren't you, Mike? Yeah, hey. I'll keep looking at you, Michael. The gift is marked out by Paul as especially valuable. It's especially valuable for the church, and we're encouraged to desire it. The prophetic gift can bring such a presence of God into a gathering. We could be gathering here, worshipping God, gathering, and suddenly there's a prophetic word from God. God Himself, He still speaks. He's still alive. He's risen from the dead. He still speaks. One dynamic word from God and the whole gathering can come alive. Praise can come up again. You know what I mean? It can activate. Suddenly it's like people are charged and there's praise. It's like the awe of God. It's like Hayden said, suddenly he felt an overwhelming presence of God. There was an awe that filled the room. And people are quickened by the life that it brings. You know, that's what this gift can do. I was thinking back to different times in my life, and I'm sure we've all got stories. Anyone could be up here and talk about times and experiences when God spoke to you, when you've been in church, and the things we've all seen. I was thinking the first prophecy I ever heard was when I didn't know the Lord. It was about 2 or 3 years before that. My dad was a Catholic, got involved in that time, a charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church. People were starting to get baptized in the Spirit. They were speaking in tongues. and they were just starting to pursue God. They were starting to read the scriptures like they never had read before. Their appetite for God was growing. And I think at that point in his life, he was always desirous of God, but I think at that point something fired in his life and he had a real experience with the Lord. I think he became born again. He came alive. And he started praying for me. And this was about 2 or 3 years before I came to the Lord. He tells me he just had a dream. He had a dream this night. He had a dream that he saw me carrying a cross, that I'd come to know the Lord, and all the rest of the family came after. And I was a typical little Marxist uni student smoking pot. And I thought, what's gotten into this guy, you know? And I sort of was happy for him, but I thought, you know, I was actually a bit mocking and didn't think much, you know, but I pondered. I pondered. And sure enough, 2 or 3 years down the track, after a bit of working on from God, I gave my life to Jesus. And the change in my life, and all my siblings came to the Lord, and my grandmother, and the whole house got saved. The whole house got saved. And it was like, you know, God had given him something that was faith. But that was the first prophecy I heard. I remember my first weekend at this church. I'd given my life to the Lord. I hadn't experienced too much of God, but I was hungry. I was hungry for this baptism in the Spirit that my dad had experienced. I came into a meeting in a little house church in a house across the road. It's about 39 years ago. And we were in the lounge room this night. I came on a Friday night and there was... We had this liturgy, this style, where we would worship and then people would get a song in the Lord, you know, a prophetic song. Now, I don't know about you, but this wasn't just a song, but someone began to sing a song. And it was more than words. It was more than a song. There was a presence. There was something in that. And I tell you, it actually began to speak to the depths of my heart and it began to minister to me and I was overwhelmed. Like Hayden was saying before, I was overwhelmed with the sense of God's love for me. I had to make a beeline for the door as quick as I could because I was at risk of being emotional. I was at risk of crying. A risk of feeling a big lump coming up my throat and, you know, don't want to embarrass this young man. So anyway, I got out of there the next night, same thing again. Suddenly these songs were coming and it was like, whatever they're singing, it's about me and it's speaking to something that only God would know. And I'm starting to feel this thing starting to crack and I got to get out of there. And the next day they prayed for me because I sort of said, I do want this experience with God, and I had a real experience with the Lord, and I wept and wept, and you know, that was the beginning. But it was the prophetic. It was the prophetic. It was the sense of God is not just words; He's power, and He's real, and He's present, and He spoke to me. I remember then after that we'd have little meetings sometimes across the road. Sometimes we'd get a guest speaker. I can remember preacher Ian Munn. Munro would come from time to time. He would pray for people. He would pray for people, but it was more than a prayer. He would get something inspired that he would say, some scriptures, or somehow he'd start on this little launch. And in the midst of it, it was prophetic. And it spoke to your heart. It was more than words. It was witnessing with your heart. In my journey with the Lord, as much as I'd known the Lord to that point, it was confirmation of what God was saying to me. It was ministering to me. And it was incredibly encouraging. And it was incredibly valuable. There was an anointing. We used to use that word. It was an anointing would come down. And there'd be a heightened sense of God. It was just special. I remember many a prayer meeting. And we had little practices that probably got around in churches in those times. You know, if you had a need, well, look, you know, could a few of you pray for me? Like Carol was saying before, we used to have a little bit of a hot seat, you know. You put a seat out in the middle and people start to pray. But you know what? Suddenly it was more than just prayer. Suddenly there was ministering to you and there was a prophetic word and it came with more than words. It came with a presence and God began to do things. It was so encouraging. I remember we never went on a missions trip unless we prayed for one another. I can remember once we didn't get to pray for Gwen when she was going on a trip one Sunday. This is in recent years, and I thought, oh no, we've got to meet down at Gwen's place, because I thought she's going nowhere without some prayer and hearing from God, because we want to hear from the Lord. You know, there was strange things as well. There was some funny things. I remember through the years, this woman came once. This couple came from Canada, Wes and Stacey Campbell. This was, you know, I actually had a tape of some of the prophecies they had, and I kept it for a few years. And then one day, I thought I threw this thing out, and I was telling Deb about it yesterday. And lo and behold, the thing I'd thrown out, she'd found and kept. So I was listening to this tape 21 years ago. It's an interesting thing to listen to that, you know. But Stacey would be praying for you, and she'd get a prophetic word, and her head would shake. I mean, it wouldn't just shake. It would, I mean, you would think it was going to come off. It was shaking that much. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about all that. I always sort of shook my head a bit when I used to see all that. But you know what? Some of the words she had were just so, so good. I remember she had a word about Deb then, that Deb had bags of seed. Bags of seed. And you know what? During Deb's 21 years since, she's felt like this thing has really come to pass, that she's had in situations been able to be just doing life and just to have bags of seed. Anyway, we all have our experiences. Many of us would prophesy in church. We probably did a lot more of it once. And I just want to encourage the gift, because it's so valuable today. Sometimes, you know, I don't know why some things occur. I know some of us, sometimes you prophesy or you feel like God's there, and all of a sudden, the people. I can remember Gwen being up here once years ago. Spirit of God fell on her. She prophesied, and she just started shaking around. And I thought she was so embarrassed. You know, she would have wanted it to stop, but God was doing stuff. The bottom line is, it's valuable, and we need to stir up the gift of the Spirit. During trials, a prophetic word can be so encouraging. I can remember going in my 20s, going through the most difficult little time of my life, and a brother coming up to me, not in church, just coming up to me and saying, I feel God. I had this picture when I was praying for you. I felt God was saying this. What he said just so ministered to me. It was exactly where I was at, and it gave me hope. And it gave me faith that what I was going through would end. And it did. I was so encouraged. I can remember three or four years ago, going through a bit of a trial, and a brother rings me up that's not in this church and said, look, I was just praying for you today, and I felt God was wanting to say this to you. Wasn't in the church, probably hear from him once every year or so. And he's got a word. It's encouraging, and it ministers to us. And that's what Paul says. He says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. It's to build up, it's to stir up, it's to cheer up. Many of us have been around long enough to even see some funny things. You know, there can be misuse. Can be sometimes people, you know, things are said that maybe shouldn't have been said. People can be confused. It needs leadership. It needs teaching. I can remember a conference once we had here. Some guy began to prophesy some condemning message. And we all, you know, but the strange thing was, we all sensed it wasn't God, because the place went flat. It was like whatever was there before sort of took a breath and sort of walked out for a while. You know what I mean? It was not there, but the spirit was grieved. And this gentleman was corrected from the front, and it was all handled quite well at the time. I can remember Rick telling me a story once, a church that he was in, where someone prophesied a word that wasn't particularly right, you would say. It either wasn't scriptural or it wasn't in a right spirit. and this guy prophesied it, and then the person at the front decided, well, we better speak into that, and they corrected it. And then a little bit after that, the guy prophesied again, and he said, for the Lord would say that was me. You know, so, you know, church can be a funny place sometimes, especially Pentecostal churches. There will be immaturity with the use of the gifts. There will be mixture. It will happen. But you know what? We are to guard against throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because it is so valuable to see the church built up, to see us encouraged, to see us comforted. The Bible warns about devaluing this wonderful gift. It says, quench not the Spirit. Clearly, Paul says, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesy, despise not prophecy. I don't think it could be any more clear. So this series we're doing, He Still Speaks, it's to encourage us to pursue the gifts, like Paul said, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. There's something God has put in us. There's something that's stirring in our hearts, and we need to stir it up. So I just want to share a few thoughts about this gift, some scriptures to give God's perspective. And the first thing is a little story. I thought, let's go right back to something at the beginning a bit, and it's in Numbers 11. There's a story, as you know, about Moses, when God said to him to get 70 men and to set them apart, to bring them to the tent of meeting, and God said, I'm going to take some of the spirit that's on you, and I'm going to put it on these men. And what it says that happened, once this happened, it says, and as soon as the spirit began to rest on them, they prophesied. So when the Spirit of God's around, there's prophecy. It's in Numbers 11, verse 26 now. It says, and then it says, now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those that were registered, but they had not gone out of the tent, and they prophesied in the camp. These two guys, it talks about how the 70 prophesied, but it didn't go on for long. But then these two guys began to prophesy, and they began to get around the camp, and they began to speak for God. And Joshua gets really concerned, and he says, my Lord, Moses, stop them. That's his first response, stop them. Things aren't right here. And Moses says these great words. He says, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them. You know, it's almost like a foretaste of what God's heart has always been, that the Spirit of God would be on us all and that we would all prophesy. In Corinthians, Paul says, for you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and be exhorted. Paul's clear wish is that we can all do it. It's something for us all. In fact, the prophet Joel says, in the last days, my sons and my daughters would prophesy. So that's the first thing. It's for us all. And God's heart is that I would that all my people would prophesy. The next thing is, as I said before, we are encouraged to pursue it. We are to covet it. We are to get hungry. We are to lean in like Michael's leaning in down the back there, and he's hungry for more of God. So that's what we want. We want our appetite to be stirred. Paul says, so my brothers earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. That's what he says. So the challenge, I'm challenged. I get challenged when I was preparing this. When did you last earnestly desire to prophesy? You know, we can't let this go cold. When did you last seek God for a prophetic word for a brother? When were you last in prayer and said, look, I'm not just going to pray for them, I want to hear something, God, from you for my brother. We need to allow room for God. We need to allow room for this gift. I asked myself the question, you might have asked this, why bother to pursue prophecy? We got a Bible, we got all the scriptures, you know, we all know what it says, we just need to pull it out. But Paul says he encourages this gift. Like I said, it's an encouragement, first of all, to build the church. It brings encouragement, it brings consolation, and it builds real strength in the church. I thought as well, it brings life. It brings like that dynamic of the Spirit. It should pepper every part of what we do, I thought. It should pepper our worship. It should pepper our preaching. You know, don't you like preachers that are more than just preachers, than just sharing the word? I mean, there's one guy I really enjoy to hear, and it's Jensen Franklin. I don't know who gets to hear him sometimes. I really enjoy him because he gets pictures and he gets... you really feel when he's preaching, there's a sense of God saying something significant, and it's just peppered with a sense of the prophetic. It brings life. In fact, you almost feel when someone's praying and there's a prophetic word, you can even feel at times like the Spirit's imparting something. And it's so encouraging. I thought about it actually brings at times, it can bring guidance. Not that we are looking for that as our sole source of guidance, but it often confirms what God has been saying to us. And this is what happened in the book of Acts. We read in Acts chapter 13, the early church at Antioch, they were praying and they were fasting and they were looking to God for what to do. And in the middle of all their time, it says, while they were worshipping the Lord and having a fast, the whole Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. In the middle of them seeking God, suddenly the Spirit of God, he just didn't turn up to speak. He spoke through someone. There was a word from God for what was next. I'll share a few little thoughts on my thoughts on how to prophesy. Just a few little things. I reckon the biggest key is faith. The biggest key is faith. Paul says to the Romans, he says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to you, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. With any spiritual gift, faith is so critical. I can remember, because when I first came to the Lord, we had this practice where people often sang and there was prophetic songs and that was really great. I thought, look, I want to get in on what God's doing. So I tried getting the prophetic songs, you know. Problem for me is I couldn't sing in tune, you know. So after a while, someone would quietly say over time, you know, I think I actually got labelled the holy roar, you know, like I probably made a lot of noise, but anyway, I remember someone saying to me once, maybe you'd be better to prophesy, not sing, you know. So anyway, I remember once in a meeting we had a conference and there was a night one, I'm not sure, and I had to lead this and I don't think I'd ever prophesied and I thought, you know, this is not fair, God never gives me one, you know, and carrying on like this, and I got really keen. I started pursuing it. I fasted for three days. I sat in that conference. I was engaged with God. I was worshiping, but you know, nothing ever came. And then this night I had to lead, and I thought, well, I'll just make it up. That's what they're all doing anyway. It's got to be, you know. You know what? But it was like I started to thought, well, you know, who cares? I'm just going to get out there. But this little thought came into my mind. It was almost like a two or three word phrase. I can't remember what it was, but I thought, I'll just go with that. And as soon as I went with that, it was like you primed a pump. You know what I mean? It's like I primed the pump and all the rest came. And I thought, it's faith, you know. I felt so much of it is faith. And we have to... What I learned then was we actually have to learn to hear God's voice. God speaks to everyone differently. well, maybe, you know, for me, it's often I hear a little phrase or a scripture or a little seed. For some, it's more they might get a picture, they might get a vision, you know, a little thing they're seeing. Some people might even feel a certain way. I don't know, but we have to lean in and understand how God speaks to us. But we need faith. We need to step out. I thought we need to realize it's still about mission. It's not about us being in the playpen here just playing. It's about out there as well. It's about our small groups. It's about encouraging one another. It's about when we're having coffee. It's about taking it to the streets as well. It's a gift that is, above all else, it's missional, as well as to build up the church. Like any skill, I thought it needs to be developed through exercise. You know, it's like the parable of the talents. If you use it, it grows. If you don't use it, you might lose it. You know, so I'm just here today to stir us up. The other thing that Paul talks so much about is order. Paul concludes all his teaching about the spiritual gifts with these simple words. He says, but all things should be done decently and in order. Now, that's not an encouragement for legality that quenches the gifts. It's simply creating riverbanks that channel what God wants to do. Paul believed that prophetic inspiration was at its best when it was channeled, when there was structure around it. I thought about in our church services, we need to make room for it. I often think the most simplest thing, you know, I look at these things a little bit simple some time, but I think if we're worshiping God and we're praising Him and we're worshiping Him and we're gathering around collectively, we're focusing on Him, wouldn't you expect at that point after we've ministered to Him that He would want to minister to us? Wouldn't it be as we've poured out our heart to Him that He would want to speak to us? Isn't it often worthwhile to just pause for a while and just hover around that worship time and just take a little bit of time and a little bit of room to wait on the Lord for what He might say? And the simplest thing is, you know, it's not, you know, we want to encourage the team to be prophetic, but it can be anyone. But you want it to be in the riverbank. You want it to be in order. So the simplest thing is if you feel God is speaking, you've got a word, just make yourself known. Like today, Carol led the service. Whoever's going to lead, just make yourself known, because they're sort of keeping a mind about where God's going. They're praying. And just make yourself known to them, and they'll make room if they feel that that's where we're at. You know what I mean? It's got to be, we don't want to kill spontaneity, but we want to keep some order to what God is doing. Last thing I'll just share a couple of minutes is about accountability. You know, the other thing is, we are actually told to judge prophecy. We're actually told to assess it. Paul says to the Thessalonians, he says, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test, examine everything carefully, hold fast to what is good. He says to the Corinthians, let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh. Let the others weigh it up. Let the others weigh what is said. I thought we actually have to assess things because there's mixture. There's always mixture, I thought. There's always this human part and this divine part. The Spirit of God is wanting to minister. The Spirit of God's coming through a vessel. It's a bit like the old analogy of a pipe. It's a bit like the water's coming, but it's coming through a vessel. It's coming through a pipe. Paul says we prophesy in part, you know, and I think because we all have the Spirit of God within us, we can witness with what is God. You know, with what is God, kind of, there's a bit of a yes inside and there's a sensing that this is from the Lord. And when it's not, it kind of just falls a bit flat, doesn't it? It just doesn't make it. But we want to encourage it, but there's always that there. And I thought, it's always consistent with Scripture. Always. God will never say anything that's different to the Scriptures. Any prophetic word must be consistent with Scripture. I thought the other thing is, if somebody had a word for me, I wanted to confirm what God's been saying to me. I mean, that's often what it is. It's actually the confirmation that is so encouraging. You know, you could be wrestling with something, thinking about something. What is God saying? You're sensing what you feel God would want you to do. And someone comes and they just have a word from God that they didn't, you know, that they've been praying for you. They have a sense of what God's saying. But, you know, we need to actually believe, sense that it's being confirmed by God. I remember years ago, Lorraine Dick, who's one of the missionaries we supported for many, many years, that did a great work in Thailand. There's a huge work there where there's a children that have been reached for God. They've grown up. They've built churches. It's like she's done this huge work. She was a young single woman that was in a service once that felt called by God to go on the mission field with one other friend she had. And they went out for prayer once, and the preacher that day was a man named Ern Baxter. This is what I've been told. And he believed a single young woman should not be going out on the mission field. And against all his thinking and all his bias, when he started to pray for her, suddenly the Spirit of God came on him and he prophesied all the things that she would do. You know, and it all came to pass. But it was confirmation. It was confirmation what God was putting in her heart. You know, and I thought, look, there's only a few simple key things. It's got to be consistent with Scripture. There's got to be that witness within. It's got to confirm what God's saying to us. And there's got to be this sense that I'm not holding this thing too super spiritual, that it's just got to be God. It's always a bit of a mixture, but we want to hear the voice of God. That's my encouragement today. We want to encourage that he will speak in our midst. We want to see the church built. We want to see it peppered in our preaching, in our worship. We want to see it flow when we pray for one another. We want to see it flourish in our small groups, in our youth nights. We want to see the Spirit of God move. We want it to be in our quiver when we're taking the gospel to the streets. That's my encouragement today. He still speaks, and we're looking forward to hearing his voice. God bless you all.